Thank you for joining us on our new podcast, Divine Intervention. We highlight the very best that the Cape in South Africa has to offer. Each week, food and wine guru Michael Olivier joins me on a link down to Cape Town. I'll be sitting in Joburg, and we discuss a bottle of the finest Cape wine. Each week, we have a guest in the studio, or two or three, and together we dissect, we analyze, we discuss, and we have a bit of fun tasting the best of South African wine. Welcome to a new podcast. We're calling it Divine Intervention. It's going to focus on South African wines, and it's going to feature the guru of South African food and wine, Michael Olivier, who joins us down a very clear line from Cape Town. Michael, good evening and welcome.
John, hello. Nice to be talking to you again.
Well, it's a great treat for us. And just so people know how they can get hold of the podcast, I'm sure we'll work out a way of making it a subscription option, but you can certainly find it on my website, which is www.zaconfidential, and on yours, Michael. And could you remind us how we get to your website?
It's www.michaelolivier.co.za.
And hopefully, if you're listening to this, this is all irrelevant information because you've found us already. With me in our Joburg studio, we have two great fans of the grape. We have Chris Gilmore from Absa Investments, who has joined Michael and I for many a tasting in the past. And we also have Malcolm McDonald from Tursos, who is performing a twin role today. First of all, he's making sure the technology works all right, and secondly, he will be joining us in the tasting. Now, Michael, for our maiden outing on Divine Intervention, you chose a wine from Warwick. It's their Professor Black Sauvignon Blanc 2012. I found it in Macro for just under 90 rand a bottle. What made you choose this wine?
Well, first of all, I have a relationship with Warwick going right back to before Norma even made their first wines there. And secondly, I love their Sauvignon Blanc. This is sort of almost like a Sauvignon Blanc that's taken a sideways step for me, because it's just an absolute mass wave upon wave of the most incredible fruit. If you get your nose in the glass, you know, that wonderful, the quinces are in season now, and I've been cooking quite a lot of quinces, and I just get that quince, I get that lovely sort of, that sort of grapefruit oil, without the bitterness smell there, and then this lovely, sort of lime and poached Cape gooseberry, which is a lovely, soft, rounded acidity. It's crisp, it's rich. I just think it is an absolute sensation. I think they've been so clever by popping in that 5% of Semillon just to broaden out the palates a little bit.
So it's a quintessential wine experience, you say?
Absolutely.
Excellent. And what sort of food would you enjoy with this wine?
John, two nights ago, I cooked a beech-smoked loin of pork with some quinces. And it was just such a magical dish. This would go with it perfectly. But, I mean, oysters, maybe a sort of a nice winter salad with some roasted butternut and some goat's curd cheese in it and some pine nuts and that kind of stuff. Brilliant. Lovely. And a nice piece of sassy, friendly hake just fried in a pan with some butter and lemon.
And Michael, I noticed from your Facebook page that you're planning to post that recipe. You posted a very nice photo of it, but
I have yet to write it up, John, but I will.
And just one diversion to poach or to roast quinces. Do you peel them first?
Yes, I do. You know, I've always peeled them with a potato peeler, and it's just a laborious process. And when I did this dish a couple of nights ago, I just took a very sharp knife and I topped the ends off and then set it down like a barrel and then just took the peel off that way. It was so easy. Cut them into quarters, cut that very hard woody core out, and they were perfect.
Okay, well, back to the wine. Just remind us before we go to our guests in Joburg, Michael, what we should be looking for in this Professor Black Sauvignon Blanc from Warwick.
Okay, well, first of all, you're looking for a nice, fresh, sort of light straw color. And then when you get it up into your nose. You get that lovely tropical fruit. There's a bit of, there's definitely quince. There's also that, you know, that green winter melon when it's really ripe, it's got that lovely smell and got a lovely texture as well. And then when you take the wine into your mouth, and I always say to people, don't sip it. Just take a good mouthful and wash it through your teeth, because that's how you really get the flavor. It's crisp. It's fully flavored. It's wonderfully fruity. And it's got this lovely aftertaste that is so strong and so long, you could almost sort of put a saddle on it and ride it off into the sunset.
Well, I have to say, I've drunk this wine on many occasions. Indeed, I've drunk it on the Warwick Estate. They've got a very, very nice tasting room and tapas bar. It's to my mind one of the highlights of the Cape Town tourism wine route. And I'm really enjoying this. I find it maybe a little bit too acidic to drink on its own. But we're drinking a rather warm one. It's been in the boot of my car most of this morning and this afternoon. So the wine isn't quite as chilled as I would normally enjoy it. Is it something that you'd enjoy on its own, just sitting and staring into the fire or the sunset, depending on the season?
I think I'd like some olives or some salted almonds with it. It's a lovely glass on its own, but it's something that you need to sort of think about. Whereas if you had a little nibble with it, it would just be perfection.
Well, now to our Joburg wine tasting guests. First of all, Chris Gilmore. I'm sure Warwick as an estate is no stranger to you, but what about this wine?
I've tried a number of the reds in the past, but I've never, and I hate to admit this, I've never tried one of the whites, and this is lovely. And I have to confess that as soon as I took a breath of this, and this was this beautiful quintessentially Sauvignon Blanc, I didn't realize there was a small bit of Sauvignon in there, Michael. But this is lovely and very clean and crisp, as you say. I think I would have to agree with John. I would like to have something a bit on the side, maybe a couple of nibbles to go with it. Some sort of cheese, for example, would be great. But yes, very fresh and clean. I think it's the best way to describe it.
And Chris, is this something that you would pursue again, or are you just being nice because we're sitting around a microphone in Joburg?
You know, it's strange. Until about a decade ago, I used to drink an awful lot of white wine, and then it's only since then I've been drinking much more on the red front. So this is something that, and I've had a couple of them recently. When you get a really nice example of Sauvignon Blanc like this, it kind of makes you think, well, why don't I go and rediscover these types of wines? Yeah, because this is just absolutely lovely. Easy drinking, Michael, as you said, right from the outset. And I could actually quite happily drink this on its own. But I do think, as you say, maybe some olives, some nuts, this type of thing would be a perfect accompaniment.
And Michael, as a grape varietal, how's Sauvignon Blanc doing in South Africa?
John, I think we all know that Chenin is the most planted, and there is a strong movement to Chenin, but I mean Sauvignon Blanc is the queen of the May as far as white wines go.
And now to our second guest in our Joburg studio, Malcolm McDonald from Tessus. Malcolm, how are you enjoying it?
Well, I'm not a huge fan of white wine usually. And lately I've been introduced to a few that are slowly changing my mind. And I think especially with a little bit of good food that goes with this, it would be absolutely fantastic, refreshing, and something that I would certainly enjoy having.
And would you pay 90 rand for a bottle of white wine? And remember, this is in a so-called discounted wine warehouse. I'm sure if you were to buy this off a restaurant wine list, you'd probably be into the 200s of rand.
Well, I think that my first white wine that I thoroughly enjoyed was almost 200 rand a bottle, and so maybe I'm a little bit less price sensitive. But I think if there's something I enjoy, then on the right occasion, it's worth it.
And Michael, let's just go back to Warwick as an estate. You mentioned that Norma Ratcliffe and her husband started this as a wine estate, and now, of course, Michael Ratcliffe is the main voice and presence of the estate.
Yeah.
How are they doing? Because my impression is, in terms of marketing, in terms of branding, in terms of generally getting the message out, Warwick is one of the stars of the Cape.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Mike Ratcliffe is very, very on the ball and very sort of media and and people savvy. And I think they've done a very good thing by creating a lovely sort of public area. It's very child friendly. The food is good. The chef there, Dave Newton, is certainly knows what he's up to. I think they're doing really, really well. And not only in the reds, I mean, the Chardonnays are pretty stonking great wines too.
And, of course, one has to tell the listeners, we were originally planning to do another Warwick wine. They're Old Bushvines Pinotage. I think it's the Bushvines Pinotage. Again, I think it's around a 2012 in vintage. But I just couldn't find it. Macro don't stock it. I went to several of the supermarkets. They don't stock it. A few specialist people have it. Why would you have wanted to try that wine initially?
Because I'm a huge Pinotage fan, and I think right from the beginning, when Norma Ratcliffe was still making the wines, this was one of her wines that we spent a lot of time talking about. I think bush vines produce less bunches of grapes, produce grapes which potentially have more flavor, more color in the skin. They're unirrigated, so there's lots of concentrated flavors there. And I think, if one can land a bottle of the Old Bush Vines Pinotage, it's the 2011 vintage, it's the current one, it's really well worth going for. They do buy in some grapes. The First Lady Cabernet Sauvignon is one example. A really lovely, lovely wine, and available at, I think, quite an even-handed price. I don't know what the prices are in the retail, but I know it's not a very expensive wine.
And, Michael, one aim, obviously, in launching this series of podcasts on South African wine is educational. Apart from the excellent advice that people can receive from people like you through this medium, how would you advise somebody who enjoys wine but doesn't really know very much about it to educate themselves, to educate their palate, ideally not at massive expense?
Okay, what I usually say to people when I'm asked that question is get yourself acquainted with your local sort of specialist wine shops. Quite often, in fact, almost every weekend, a specialist wine shop will have a wine tasting of one or other producer. I think of Wine Concepts down here. They have a tasting every weeknight, and every weeknight it's a different producer. Go along. You might strike it lucky and get the winemaker there, but certainly you will get somebody who knows something about the wines. Say, for argument's sake, that Warwick Cabernet is being tasted. Just take 5 minutes and Google it and read up about Cabernet Sauvignon. You find such interesting stuff. I mean, the fact that Cabernet Sauvignon is a child of Cabernet Franc and Sauvignon Blanc, that's the first shop to start off with. But and then you can start looking for things that are the benchmarks in Cabernet Sauvignon. And that's how you learn. You just taste. You go to a function, you offer a glass of wine, ask what it is. Make little notes. And there are people who do wine courses, not at great expense. But I think that, once your interest has been pricked and you think, I really need to know more, then that's the time to move on to something like Kathy Marston, who does the WSET training, or the Cape Wine Academy.
And for a visitor to the Cape, I remember when I first started going around the Cape winelands about 20 years ago, 40 years ago for my liver, it was actually the exception rather than the rule that they asked you for money to taste their wines. It seems that more and more people are charging. What's your view on that, Michael?
Well, I think more and more people are charging. I think one of the things that I used to find was, in Stellenbosch, you'd get a batch of students saying, come on, guys, it's Friday afternoon, we've got no lectures, what should we do? Oh, well, let's go out to so-and-so and go and have a couple of pots of wine. And they go out there and they're doing it merely for the effect of the alcohol rather than being interested in buying any wine. So I'm not averse to wineries charging for tastings. They always take, if you buy a couple of bottles, you don't pay for the tasting anyway, so.
And Chris Kilmore, just those issues I've been discussing with Michael, educating yourself and indeed taking a trawl around the vineyards.
Look, when I used to live in the Cape, I used to like nothing more than to go around the various wines tasting. It really is a lot of fun, and Michael, you do learn an awful lot. But just leading on from this bit about charging, excuse me, I was just interviewing a chappie from the Netherlands before I came here, and he was telling me that in Holland you can now get South African wines for of around the order of about €5 a bottle. And, you know, I was in Copenhagen a couple of months ago, and same thing. In a hideously expensive Scandinavian country, I was seeing South African wines at rock-bottom prices. And yet, if I translate it back into rands, I'm seeing prices locally that are significantly more expensive than than what you can buy them overseas these days for comparable quality. Yeah. What is causing that, in your opinion, Michael?
Well, I think one of the big things that is happening is that that producers are shipping wine across to Europe in bulk and bottling there. I know that in the south of England there's a bottling plant that has all the sort of the scientific requirements and the laboratories and everything. There's one in the south of France. I think there's one in Amsterdam as well. So they are able to bring their prices down because they're not shipping out boxes with bottles in them. They're shipping out a great big container with a plastic bladder, you know.
And Malcolm McDonald, same question to you. You say that you're more a red wine fanatic than a white wine fundy, but presumably you've done a little bit of research in the interest of science to find out what you enjoy and what brings you pleasure in the world of wine.
Well, the science of what I enjoy is essentially when I have it, I enjoy it. And I think as someone introduces me to some new brand or some new particular a bottle of wine, I'm more likely to try it. And I think that I'd encourage anyone who's listening to this podcast as well to give this one a go and see if they enjoy it. And I think that sort of the modern trend in wine is if you enjoy it, then drink it. And I think that's the great thing.
Well, thanks to everyone. One thing I forgot to ask you right from the start, Michael, this is the Professor Black Sauvignon Blanc from Warwick, and there was a Professor Black, but I believe there's also a fruit involved in the naming of this wine.
Yes, the Professor Black is a variety of peach. It's a cling, one of those yellow-fleshed cling peaches. And I'm not sure, but I think this chap, Professor Black, I think was a great friend of Professor Perrault, who is the chap who created the Pinotage grape.
And I believe that the vines were planted where peaches had grown before, and that's how the name was derived.
Absolutely.
Well, Michael, as always, a really peachy discussion with you. Thank you so much for taking us through what I think is one of the finer South African white wines, the 2012 Sauvignon Blanc from Warwick, and we will be back with another wine very, very soon. Just to thank our Joburg studio experts, Chris Gilmore from Absa Investments, Malcolm McDonald from Tersos, who not only tasted but also pressed all the right buttons for this recording. We will be back with Divine Intervention. Michael Olivier, final word from you.
John, I look forward to coming back. We've got a lot of wines to taste over the next weeks and months.
Well, it's been a real delight for me as well. Goodbye, everyone. See you soon.